listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the podcast, the flagship podcast of Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency. Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency is the only registered 501c3 nonprofit wholly dedicated to exposing the hard truths about pharmacy benefit managers and how their greed-centered profit-at-any-cost business practices are driving up drug prices and healthcare premiums while reducing consumer choice and endangering patient access. The podcast is brought to you by DataScan Pharmacy Software. DataScan Pharmacy Software is a family-owned and operated independent software solutions provider for independent pharmacies nationwide. Learn more at DataScanPharmacy.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This is Monique Whitney. I am the Executive Director of Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency. And with me today is our president, Deborah Kaveny. Hi, Deb. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
I'm so glad you're here. We don't often get the pleasure of you being on the podcast, and I'm excited that we actually have you for a little bit. You've been up to quite a lot lately.
Yeah, running the store and helping the independent pharmacies of America try to survive.
And then also in between that, you're advising the Minnesota Independents, the Mindies, and then chiming in on all the other groups that we have going now. We're having quite a robust year in terms of participation in pharmacies taking matters into their own hands now.
Yeah, I think pharmacies are finally thinking it's okay to talk to each other and it's actually okay to work together instead of by themselves and feeling like they're in silos.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's more than time for that to happen. So you're here today because of a project that you started that I think is completely fascinating, and that as we share with listeners today, I'm just going to, you know, spoil alert and say that I 100% endorse what we're about to talk about. I'm super, super excited about it. But not that long ago, you started the process to be licensed as a Medicare insurance agent. Is that right? Did I say that right?
That's correct.
And we're going to talk about why and how and kind of get your story. And we're going to do that courtesy of our guest, Ben Coakley. Welcome. Ben is the founder of Pharmacy Insurance Group and its business development director. Hi, Ben.
Hello. How are you, ladies?
We are great. Very, very excited to have you today. Thank you for taking time. I know you're very busy and you've been on planes, what, twice a week, every week for several weeks now?
Yeah, it is. It's been a whirlwind, I can tell you that. And I just got back from a conference with 3,000 Medicare agents, and it pretty much confirmed in my mind why pharmacy owners and pharmacists need to do this.
Yes. Okay, good. So let's talk about that. You have a story about Pharmacy Insurance Group, which is part of your family's company, Waypoint. And so you might want to take like a minute to just quickly say, what is Waypoint? And then how Pharmacy Insurance Group, like how that came into being. And then we want to ask Deb how she found out about it.
Yeah, perfect. Well, my father founded our company back in 1975. So we're coming up on our 50th anniversary as a company. Now, it wasn't always known as the Waypoint Company and the Pharmacy Insurance Group. That's kind of a recent development. But my father actually helped a pharmacist buy or start his business, start a pharmacy, and help that pharmacist, pharmacy owner, transition that pharmacy to the next generation, his niece. So my dad took somebody through the entire life cycle of being a pharmacy owner. And so when I'm a Clemson grad, go Tigers. When I came out of school, I wanted to go to work for my father, and my father very astutely recognized that I was completely undisciplined. You go to college, man, you live it up. You got no rules. You got to show up class every once in a while, you know, and you get out into the real world. Well, it's a whole nother animal. So he actually had me go work for a gentleman who really helped me understand discipline and why it's super important. So I worked for him for 3 years. And then I went to my father and said, hey, I want to come in the business. And he said, well, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? What's our future look like to working together? So I rewrote our business plan and we discovered that we were working with 8 to 10 independent pharmacy owners. And that kind of began the journey. Then we met our strategic coach, who he's been on our team since 2005. We met him. He helped us build some programs to help pharmacies, independent pharmacy owners and pharmacies thrive back then. And then Part D got launched and the PBM industry came. And fast forward to COVID, a lot of pharmacies had to change their workflow to meet the needs of their patients and to protect people, their staff, from getting infected with COVID. And so it really changed the game for us. It really helped us understand, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not as important as we thought we were. It was very humbling for us when we used to be able to call a pharmacy owner, get in touch with them, and they talked to us to where they wouldn't take our call. And for good reason, they were taking care of patients. They were actually doing what frontline healthcare workers were supposed to do and take care of people. And so we went back to the drawing board. It bought us, you know, probably 5-6 months of time for us to really evaluate what, you know, what we're doing. Why are we here? What is our purpose? It corresponds. I think I mentioned the last time that we talked, Monique, that all this kind of coalesced around us going to a conference. It was the first non-pharmacy conference we had been to for me in 15 years. Fortunately for us, this conference, the gentleman who was running the conference got up on stage and he said, "Hey, why are you here?" And Matt and I were like, "So you're talking about, like, why are we in this seat? What's going on here?" And he said, "Not why are you at this conference? Why does your company exist? What impact are you trying to make in this world?" So that happened. COVID hit. We were able to reassess our business. The Pharmacy Insurance Group was born out of that. It bought us time to actually do the research to make sure that we could do this. I was able to, you know, I couldn't talk to pharmacy owners, but I can tell you what, attorneys would take my call because they wanted to get paid, right? So I was calling attorneys, insurance departments, and then a wonderful thing happened. I went to a workout, a CrossFit workout, which I almost laid out of, by the way. I go in, and there's this gentleman there who's the coach, and I've never seen him before. And I said, hey, I'm Ben. And Scott's like, "Hey, Scott, you know, I'm a coach. This is my last day coaching." I'm like, "Really?" And I've been going there for a year and a half, never seen the guy. Okay. So get through with the workout. It was a brutal one. But it was good. And at the end of the class, I walked over and I said, "Hey man, what do you do for a living?" He said, "Well, I'm a Medicare agent." You know, and like I do to a lot of people, I ask this question, like, "Hey, next 3 years were the best 3 years of your life. What has to happen?" And he said, "I really think we can put agents inside independent pharmacies." And I kid you not, he had no idea what I did for a living. None. And I said, "We need to go to lunch." And me and him and his business partner, Travis, met for lunch and we mapped out the Pharmacy Insurance Group on a napkin. You know, you hear those stories. I still have that napkin. I'm going to frame that sucker at some point. But that's how the Pharmacy Insurance Group was born. April 1st, 2021, we launched. I'm proud to say, if we're not at 1,000 pharmacies, we're knocking on the door right now. At this conference I was at, I literally talked to 20 pharmacy owners who are starting this process. Like, I think I spent more time on the phone outside the conference talking to them than I did actually in the conference. So that's how this whole thing was born. And I give glory to God, because there's no way I could have connected all the pieces. Because the one thing I could tell you, I didn't know anything about Medicare. I mean, I know Medicare Part D, working with pharmacies, but supplements, Medicare Advantage, all these different things, had no idea. And if I would have laid out of that workout, I would have never met Scott, my business partner, and this whole thing would have never been launched. So that's how it all came to be.
That's such a great story. And you can really hear all the elements of an idea whose time has come.
Yep.
You know, and particularly with regard to Medicare D, because there's been so much advantage taken of it, and the pharmacies are the ones who have, you know, been hurt by it. So we're talking about something as simple as a little Medicare insurance agency inside of an independent pharmacy that can be owned and run by a pharmacy owner. Mm-hmm. However they choose to structure it. It's legal. There are some ways that has to be managed. And this is a perfect opportunity to turn to Deb, because Deb, that is what you're starting. So what would be great is if you could tell us a little bit about your story, tell us a little bit about your pharmacy and how you came to connect the dots, if you will, on this idea.
Sure. So I was at a pharmacy conference, and Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency had a booth, and across the aisle, Ben's group had a booth. And so you sit in those conferences and, you know, you talk to the pharmacists that come through, and then you talk to your partner across the aisle or next door to you. And I kept going across the aisle to talk to these guys because I was fascinated at what they were doing. And they were not only talking about the Medicare insurance producer side, but they were also talking about the other aspects of Ben's company as well, the wealth management, things like that. And I sat there for a while and thought, wow, that's really something. Being a pharmacist for over 30 years, we've been told that you're not allowed to sell insurance to your customers. You're not allowed to steer your customers. You're not allowed to do any of that. And the more I talked to these guys, the more I realized that we actually can do that. And it's not really steering, and it's not really self-promoting. There are ways that you can talk to customers that gets them what they're looking for. So they want an insurance policy that works for them. They want access to the physicians that they know and trust, and they want access to the pharmacies that they know and trust. And if you can put together a program with those three elements, you're working on behalf of that patient. You're not working on behalf of yourself or anybody else in between. So I got connected with the Waypoint group and was going to get started. And then I had this little thing called a vehicle accident that took me out of commission for a while. But while I was back in the pharmacy after the accident, trying to figure out how I'm going to keep my pharmacy going in a nutshell, because we're kind of all in that boat right now. My mind kept coming back to this program and this way to do things. And it was something that really tugged at me. Over the course of the next couple of years, we all did go to the .gov and help people find their plans. And they're talking to the insurance agent down the street and all this kind of things. In the last couple of years, I'm noticing that my patients are all getting put on the wrong plans for them. Their meds weren't covered, or their doctor was carved out, or Kevany drug wasn't in network, all kinds of things. And you start talking to patients. Well, who did you talk to? Who set you up with this thing? Well, the guy down the street did. So then you find out the guy down the street only has contracts with two of the carriers because they pay them the most money. What I like about the program at Waypoint is they're going to get you contracted with everybody in your area so you can look everything soup to nuts and find that one program that's going to help that patient. And we would still talk to patients and say, you know what? I know you're looking at that. Name your plan. It's not going to be good for you because your diabetes medication isn't covered. Your specialist is in network. You know, we were getting a little bit smarter along the way before I got hooked up with Waypoint, that people either weren't listening or it was so onerous to figure everything out that they just like, oh, whatever, let's just pick one and be done with this because I'm tired of looking at it. And they're in the wrong plans. Then they're coming to my store a month or 2 months later saying, well, what the hell? I'm paying for insurance. This is supposed to be covered. They told me it was going to be covered. How come it's not? What can you do to help me? Well, at this point, not much. We call the doctor. We try to get them put on different medications. We try to find them a specialist that's in network. And the more that work I did, the angrier I got. Or it was, why did you sign up for this plan? Well, I saw somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning and I called 1-800 to get my extra benefits. And that's what I got is all these extra benefits. Yeah, you did. I'm not your network. Your doctor's not your network. And half your medication isn't on the formulary, but go you. You called 800 number in the middle of the night and got the plan.
So you got that 3,000 in dental, baby. You got that, but you can't see any of the other people you want to see.
Exactly. So I hooked back up with Waypoint and got rolling. So I have an agency. I have an LLC. I have a bank account that's waiting for commissions to come in at some point. I am going through the contracting process right now with the carriers, and I am starting to talk to my patients with, I know y'all maybe got on the wrong plan, or maybe you want to look for a better plan for next year. Hang with me. I'll help you. The other thing is we've done a little bit of data mining on how many people are in my area are going to age into Medicare. And if you start talking to them now, I know it's complicated. I know it's scary. I know you probably don't know much about it, but don't worry. We'll talk you through it. We'll help you. So it's a wonderful opportunity. It truly is. Pharmacists really want the best for people. I mean, honestly, and I know this probably make your head spin, Ben, but I don't really care about the commissions. I mean, it's going to be nice because it's going to help me in everything, but I'm more interested in not having to have the same conversation every single month with a little old lady that got signed up on the wrong plan that just doesn't understand why her Eliquis is $349.
That, you know, Deb, that does not make my head spin. Let me tell you why. Because that's one of the reasons that this works so well with pharmacies. And because, you know, we look at our data and we see that there is a significant amount of patients that are in kind of the pharmacy insurance group, let's say call it under our umbrella, who are put into plans that don't pay commissions because it's the best thing for them. And it's amazing to me, like going to this conference in Vegas, talking to these agents, not a single one of them would ever enroll a patient in a plan then pay a commission. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Even if it's the best thing, clearly the best thing for the patient, they don't even show it to them. So with our model, we show all the plans and we're going to enroll them in the best plan for them. If it happens to pay a commission, it does. If it doesn't, we're still going to do the right thing and get that patient in that plan. Now, it's really important for everybody listening out there. This is the pinnacle year. We're crossing the Rubicon right now. I don't know the number, but I suspect 95 to 98% of Medicare beneficiaries this year will change their plan. When you see what's coming with Part D, when you see it, with the $2,000 max out of pocket on all drugs now, premiums are going up. They're going to pass that cost on through premiums. Okay, so your patients are going to be looking at massive premium hikes here. Okay, so now it's more important than ever that you do this and you help them. Picture that was painted for us was like, you better get ahead of this. So you better get ahead of this and you better help your patients understand what's coming down the line. And you're going to see a lot more Medicare Advantage is going to look a lot better for patients moving forward because of that $2,000 max out of pocket for every drug. So, and again, I tell people there's only two ways the insurance company can make money is they can either charge more premium or raise drug prices. Well, they're being capped on what they can charge for drugs, $2,000. So we think it's going to happen to premiums. Premiums going up. So it's really super important. This year is going to be the most defining year for independent pharmacies. And if they want to continue to serve the Medicare population, we have to do this. It's imperative. The days of sitting on the sideline and not doing this is over and taking whatever comes in that door and say, hey, we'll make it work no matter what comes in the door. Sorry, those days are over. So we have to adjust. We have to adapt. We have to transform to meet the needs of our patients. And it's super important. It's scary. I know it's scary. Nobody on here, every pharmacy owner I talked to one guy the other day, and he said, man, if you'd have told me I was going to be an insurance agent, I'd have told you to kiss my, and you know what he said. But nobody wants to be an insurance. I get it. We don't like insurance companies. I don't like insurance companies. I was just in a conference with Aetna, Humana, WellCare, by the way. Within 5 minutes, I got a chance to tell off a WellCare employee. So I was happy about that. She's like, what do you mean? PSAO opted out of WellCare and Medicare? And I'm like, do you even have a clue what's going on? Do you even know who your PBM is? They don't even know. Guys, I'm telling you, they're like the mice and the Pied Piper. Like, I'm serious. It's insane. These people, they don't even know what they're selling. They have no idea. I was talking to one guy, and we'll get back to let other people talk in here. But this is amazing to me. When I was talking to somebody, and I said, hey, listen, let me tell you what makes us a little bit unique is we actually talk to some of the providers and find out which plans work for them. Because we actually like the towns we work in. We like them having a pharmacist, a pharmacy. We like them having a medical provider. You know, and the guy was like, that's brilliant. Like, why don't all these other agents do that? I said, because they don't have a freaking clue what's going on. And to be candid, I don't think they have any interest in finding out. for me, this is why, like Deb, with what you're doing, you actually care about how these products impact not just your patient, but the people that get reimbursed by these products. I mean, you care about that. You care about, you know, people having access to care, like you said. And how can you sell a product and not know how it actually impacts people? I don't get it. I was taught by my father, you know everything about it. But not just what it costs, not just how it impacts your client. How does it impact their family, their community, the other people that have to interact with that product? And these people, I mean, they're so lasered in on how much money they make, they don't even realize they're part of the problem.
And I think that points to the greater problem in the United States healthcare industry, because it has become intentionally segmented and walls have been put up between providers where they're told they're not allowed to talk to each other. Deb actually referenced this at the beginning. You're told you're not allowed to talk to each other. If you do, that might be collusion. Mm-hmm. People who are in insurance are, you know, they think of themselves as representing like a product full stop, but they don't think about, like you just said, like what's the end result of that, right? And what's brilliant, I think, about what you and Scott and Travis have put together is that you've now got a tool that allows pharmacists for the first time to really step in and use a tool for their own, now for their own benefit. For they can actually use it in the way in which I think it was originally intended. It was originally intended to be a service that helped people find the plan that's right for them, mm-hmm. but it became something else. And now we have an opportunity to actually use a system as it was intended, I believe, and in a way that benefits patients and providers, right, Deb? Yeah. So you were saying you don't really care about the commissions, but there's other opportunities here for you and for your pharmacy as well, right? You're in a rural area, so you've got this community that looks to you for its care. They trust you.
Definitely. And once you get, depending on the state, I mean, Medicare insurance isn't the only product that I can write for. There are other products that I can as well. So as you branch out and people say, well, gosh, Deb, you help me with Medicare. Can you help me with hospital insurance, accidental insurance, life insurance, long-term care insurance? There's some hoops you have to jump through with each individual state on which type of product you can sell. There's some training involved, things like that, but it really opens up the door to where you can help people soup to nuts on protecting their family, protecting their assets, things like that. The one thing I liked about Waypoint was they really do have a step-by-step on how to actually do this. So they don't just say, hey, Deb, welcome aboard. That's awesome. You know, let us know when you're licensed and we'll get you helped. We'll get you hooked up and helped and everything. They actually have a roadmap that gets you signed up for the training classes. It's individualized for your state, so you know exactly what your state's required. It just walks you right on through it. And then the one thing that I want to help you with is when you're looking at it from an insurance producer side point, you know what the plans are. You know what CVS is selling. You know what Caremark, what Optum, and all that kind of stuff. We need to figure out how to tighten this up a little bit more to be able to say this plan is BIN number, PCN number. This plan is BIN number, PCN number. So the backside, when we all tie it together, not only does a pharmacy know that patient's going to be taken care of because they've got their pharmacy, their doctor, their drugs, but on the backside, the pharmacy is going to be probably paid properly. So it's a win-win for all of us. So that's something I'd like to work with you to kind of help tighten up. But you guys really do make it easy. It really is a checklist step by step on how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, again, you know me, some people call me conspiracy theorist, but I really think these PBMs know what the hell they're doing, trying to confuse everybody. So on our side, we have a health plan number. On the pharmacy side, they got a BIN number. So how is matching those two up sometimes is extremely challenging. Yeah. So Deb, that's absolutely something that we need to work on. I think it's in our project queue. We're working on something now that I think we're going to be able to match up the plan number and the BIN number. And so the pharmacy, when they're doing that enrollment, are going to be able to see those two things to confirm that it's the right BIN number for them. So yeah. So I think we're going to have that soon. Again, I think they do that to try to confuse everybody. Like, how do I know which bin, is the one that's the plan that I want to enroll patients in that's good for them and one that helps the pharmacy, you know, continue to stay in business. So it's one of those things where when we identify those things like that, and I love our community too, Deb, you're part of this community. They share these things with us. I mean, we are so proud, and thank you for the compliment on the checklist that, you know, my team, Alex, and the team that put that together, Nicole, it's dynamite what they've done there to help walk you step by step through. But one of the things I'm proud of is the fact that we are a family. We do look at this thing as a family. We do collaborate a lot with this program. We learn so much from each other on what's working, what's not working. And hey, listen, this is what we need. We need this to do a better job. And as long as I'm part of this company, I will tell you this, if somebody says they need it and we can provide it and it's legal, it's ethical, and it's somewhat cost effective, we're going to provide it to you because we want a sustainable model for pharmacy. Last time we spoke, you know, Monique, you and I talked about how not everybody's interested in that. I talked about, like, hey, you got to know who you're doing business with. What is their end game? Are they in this for the right reason, to try to create a sustainable model? Are they trying to make as much money as they can and sell their company? Okay, because if something happens to you, Ben, something happens to Matt, what happens to my business? Well, guess what, Deb? You own your book of business. You own it. It's an asset on your financial statement, not on mine. If I sell my company or if I die in a plane crash, guess what? That money keeps coming into you. So all that hard work that you've put into this, you don't lose it because I decide I want to sell out, okay? Because I want to make as much money as possible. I'm not going to do that, but there are groups out there who absolutely will do this. They will take all your hard work and sell it and make them the most money they can make, and then you're kind of left holding the bag. And so you really got to know who you're doing business with and what their goal is and what their end game is. And our end game is a sustainable future for independent pharmacy.
And Ben, you've now shown in the 3 years that Pharmacy Insurance Group has been around, you've got a proven model. You've got pharmacies who've started agencies that are really doing well. Some are doing over $500,000, well over $500,000 annually in their sales.
Yep. Sales is the right term. Yep.
You know, and as exciting as that is, right? The gist of this for you and your group has always been the sustainability of pharmacy and pharmacists being able to use a system that's been used against them to turn it on its head and now to help patients, right? Yeah. So I imagine, you know, as people are listening, I do want to make a couple of points. One, Ben is not going to die in a plane crash. I'm just superstitious enough to have to say that. Two, there may be people who are listening to this and they're like, well, I mean, it sounds really good. I'm not really a salesperson type. How do I know if this is really for me? And I think this would be a good point in the conversation to talk about, even if they don't go through Waypoint, right? Because the truth is, right, they could try to do this on their own. Sure. You have a system, right? But this would be a good point to talk about the how. You know, I think I might want to do this. If I do it with you, what's the process? You know, what should people know about that?
Okay. That's a great point. And Deb's been to our sales training. We offer the sales training to give some basic sales fundamentals. It's not, you know, the great thing about this program and the great thing about independent pharmacy is you have the patients. You've got the Medicare beneficiaries already coming in the door. Well, I tell people, like, most insurance agents, if you were to start this on your own, you didn't have a pharmacy, the startup cost would be substantially higher than they are now with you having those patients already in your pharmacy software system. All those agents that I met this week, they pay for their leads. They got to pay for mailers and it's expensive. It could be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year of marketing costs just to grow their book of business. Well, we don't have that. So the cost barrier is insignificant now. So what we do on the sales side is we say, hey, listen, how do we sit people down and have a powerful conversation with them, help them understand what Medicare is? Okay. And that, I think that's the starting point. If you want to do this, whether you do it with us or not, Medicare beneficiaries don't understand Medicare. It's a complex program. And if you can take them through a simple process to help them understand it, it's going to just add to the trust that you've already built as their healthcare provider. You know, so Deb, and you can speak to this. I mean, we're not asking you to cold call. You know, we're not asking you to do any of these things from a sales standpoint. We're just saying, hey, sit down with your patients, have a powerful conversation, ask them what their biggest fears are. And then it becomes pretty clear once they tell you their fears and what they're trying to accomplish, it becomes pretty clear which path that they need to take. You know, Deb, so do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, so that's actually the conversation we have with our patients all the time and have had for years. I think the biggest benefit to me of sitting through your class was I actually understand Medicare a lot better than I did previous to this. So it makes it easier for me to understand and then also answer those questions where before I was kind of digging, flying by the seat of my pants, trying to figure out where to find the answers, things like that. You guys just kind of put it out very simply. And once you get like the 8 or 10 little sentences that explains Medicare and answer their questions, we're already doing it. This is just going to arm us with a little bit more. So it's not really sales. And pharmacists always say, oh my God, I'm not a salesperson. I can't sell anything. You're not really selling anything. You're answering questions. And if you look at it like that, then you don't have to hyperventilate because all of a sudden now you've got to put on your hat and be a salesperson. It's basically just having a conversation. You know, I see you're getting ready for Medicare or Medicare renewal. Let's have a talk. You know, what are you looking for? What do you need? How's your plan from last year? Are you new going into it? Do you understand part A, part B, part C and everything in between? And just the conversation isn't really sales, yet it's sales.
Yeah. We have the saying in our business that people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. So you're just creating a really impactful buying experience. That's what you're doing. And you do that, you know how you do that? People can't see me, but I'm pointing to my two ears right here. Okay, you ask a question and you listen. And they're going to tell you what their biggest fears are, what they want, and what they're trying to accomplish with their healthcare needs. And then you're able to go in and guide them to the best thing for them. And that's what sales is. That's what sales is. You know, my dad told me one time there's a very fine line between sales and being a sales and being a con artist. And there really is. If you help guide somebody to something because it's in their best interest, you're a great salesperson. If you guide somebody to something because it's in your best interest, you're a con artist. It's not sales. You're doing this in the healthcare space. You're asking them, hey, how's this medicine make you feel? Have you talked to your doctor about this? I mean, you're doing it the exact same process, except you're instead of talking about healthcare, you're talking about Medicare insurance. So you're already selling. I mean, you already created an impactful. And again, that's what makes them trust you. If you were to go straight into something really hardcore salesy in the pharmacy, hey, you need to get that CBD, blah, blah. No. What you do is you go in and say, listen, hey, how are these medications working in your body? Are you having any issues? Well, yeah, you know, I'm taking them, I'm having leg cramps with, you know, and I'm just making this up. I'm not a pharmacist, by the way. I'm just making this up. Deb, you can confirm. Well, you know, you're on a statin. I mean, my dad had leg cramps with a statin. And, you know, so, hey, we need... There's some nutrient depletion going on that we may want to address. Okay, that you asked the question, they discovered, hey, there's a potential solution for this. Okay, what do I need to buy to take care of this? So, you're already doing it in your pharmacy. We're just saying, hey, let's take it. Let's learn the Medicare system. Let's learn Part A, Part B, Part D, supplements, and Part C, Medicare Advantage. And then let's ask those similar types of questions and help guide them to the best decision for themselves.
So Ben, you're doing this now, this training is happening all the time. And it would be great if you could share with our listeners how they can find out more, when the trainings are, mm-hmm. You know, just anything that helps a busy pharmacy owner figure out how they can work this into their schedule.
Yeah. If you go to rxinsurancegroup.com, that's where you can click to get started. You can register for our next webinar where we talk about all this fun stuff. We've got copies of the upcoming agendas, the training dates on there. You can reach out to me, Ben at waypointus.com. I am always open to have a conversation. It seems to me like my phone's most of the time married to my head at this point, but I think that's a good thing. I tell people the more time I spend on the phone, the more people I help and the more people we serve. And so, so email me. You can go to rxinsurancegroup.com. If you want to go to waypointus.com, listen, what we're doing, this is a revolution. We're trying to create a health and wealth care revolution. Okay, because believe it or not, it's not just people's health that's getting impacted. Their pocketbooks are getting impacted too. And these agents out there who are not doing the right thing, they're impacting people's health negatively and their pocketbooks. So this is a health and wealth care revolution, and it's underway. We used to talk about it, like, hey, there's going to be a revolution one day, Well, it's here. We are in the process of a transformation happening in the healthcare field, in the wealth care field. I mean, it's happening. It's technology. All this stuff is disrupting everything. Artificial intelligence, people. I'm telling you, at that conference, artificial intelligence was everywhere. You want to know what's scary? Think about this. They have an AI program. I listened to it, and it mimicked an agent. I mean, and it was almost dead on accurate. I mean, seriously, it was crazy, Monique. So imagine getting a call from some guy, hey, just calling to follow up Medicare enrollment. And you're like, oh, cool, awesome. Well, and then the program is so self-aware that it will walk somebody through, and by the end, they've chosen a product. It's not even a real human being, people.
Wow.
That's to me, that's terrifying. On how you can, if you unleash that on our elder population, scary to me. That's a scary, scary thing. I think I was watching an interview with Elon Musk, and he was talking about, we got to put some controls around AI because this thing can be dangerous if we don't get our hands around this and create some structure and some guidelines on how to actually use this. It's very important that we understand it's here, whether we want it or not. And I try to make this point when I talk to pharmacies. I said, listen, I know you didn't want to do this, but there comes a moment in time where it's your time to step up. And it happens in everybody's life. And you can either choose to sit idle on the sidelines and kick the can down the road or pass the buck to somebody else. Or you can step up and do what it takes to protect the patients that you love so much. You know, there's this great saying by Edmund Burke, the only thing for evil to win is for good men and women to do nothing, right? That's the difference between evil triumphing and not, is for people like us to sit on the sidelines and say, you know what? We're going to let somebody else do that. And I think my company, we're not going to do that. We're going to step up to the plate. And if we go down, I mean, we're going to go down swinging.
I like what you're pointing to. And I think it's critical that we always remember that it's always about our relationships that we have, that you're right. You know, you can get an automated, seemingly self-aware entity on the phone talking to you and maybe not even know you're talking to a machine and not a person.
Machine, right? Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that trusted relationship that pharmacists have with their patients, that families have with their pharmacists, I think it's an important time. You know, it's an important time to take something back, something that belongs to the patients and belongs to the providers. It was never intended to be a revenue exploitation mechanism these large, large corporations whose sole purpose seems to be, you know, squeezing dollars out for themselves, their shareholders, and so forth. So yeah. I really commend you. I commend you and Scott and Travis and your family. You've worked. I didn't know Waypoint had been around for 50 years. I've had the opportunity, the pleasure of speaking a couple of times at your meetings, and it's some of the most, you know, inspiring work that I've seen done. And I commend you and your family for the work that you're doing and the work you're doing for pharmacists. And that's why we have this podcast today, because while I think a cynical person could say, oh, this is just one giant commercial for becoming a Medicare agent, it's really not that. It's really opening up the doors to an opportunity to take back a segment of business that rightfully belonged to the pharmacies and the patients in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Monique, we share with every single person who calls us how we make money. And I think this is super important. We don't charge upfront fees for this. I mean, there's some upfront costs you got to pay just to cost of doing business, to get a license and things like that. But we don't charge an upfront fee to do this. We only make a little bit of money every time our agencies help a patient. We win when they win. We win when the patient wins. So our financial motives are completely aligned with taking care of patients and helping that pharmacy keep those patients in that drugstore. And that's super important that we chose to do it that way. Yeah, so it's for us, because like Deb, like you said, the commission for us is, yeah, we know it's going to come because this is the way the model works, but it's not the reason we do this. You know, I have my own personal story why I do this, okay? And it began back in 2012 when it really hit home that I have to do something. We have to step up. And my grandfather was a World War II vet. He fought in the Battle of the Rhineland, the Battle of the Ruhr Pocket. He was in the Battle of the Bulge too. I don't forget that one. That was a big one. So he served in Germany in the European theater, and he came back. He went over there in July 1944. August 1944. Came back July 1946. I got the plaque on the wall over here, and came back, and then the Army Air Corps became the U.S. Air Force. So he got transferred to the Air Force, but he was in the 1st Infantry. So he was an infantryman. So he was on the front lines. So he came back and he battled a lot of demons his whole life. And he was an alcoholic, smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day for a long time. My grandmother passed away in 1980. He remarried a couple of years later, and kind of the woman put him on the straight and narrow. Like, hey, you're not drinking anymore. You're not smoking anymore. You're going to take care of yourself, right? Well, but by that point, the damage was already done. Okay. The damage to his body was done. So he ended up hypertension, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, COPD. I mean, he was on TRICARE for life. Well, we know that TRICARE switched to Express Scripts mail order. We got switched to mail order. And I went over there one day, and I used to go over there every Saturday, and we watched John Wayne movies. Okay. Love John Wayne. So I'd go watch these Westerns with them every Saturday morning. And it was one of my favorite times in the whole world. I had one-on-one quality time with my grandfather. One day I went over there and I noticed his foot was kind of discolored. And I was like, Papa, you know, your foot doesn't look very good. He's like, I know. And I said, well, how long has it been this way? He said, for a little while. And I said, you know, you really need to tell us this. So I called my mom. Mom came over. We ended up getting an appointment that week with a specialist, and turns out he had to get his foot amputated. And so through that process of going to all these different doctors, he went to so many doctors for this, the medication list kept changing. So after he got his foot amputated, he came home with his final drug list. And my mom and my aunt called it into Express Scripts and went through the whole list, and the guy punched it into the system. And unfortunately, the blood pressure medicine that he'd been on for 30 years was not on there. And my mom and my aunt, they don't know anything about drugs. They don't know what a blood pressure drug is. They don't know. They didn't know. They didn't catch it. And the either the gentleman or the lady typing the stuff into the system, and they don't know what that is. And 2 weeks later, I had a massive stroke. And about 4 weeks later, dying in a skilled nursing facility. And you know, he always told me, he said, you know, son, I want to die at home, you know, with my family around me. He died alone in a nursing facility. I remember thinking to myself, like, if he'd had a relationship with an independent pharmacy, I don't know if it would have been caught. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have, but at least there would have been a shot, because they would have known at least his medical history. And be like, hey, Mr. Morgan, you've been on a blood pressure medicine for 30 years. Did your doctor take you off one? No, I don't. Not that I know of. Okay, let's get on the phone with the doctor and find out what's going on. Oh, I forgot to put that on there. Thank you for catching that. I mean, at least he would at least had a shot at that. So I don't want anybody to lose their grandfather, their grandmother, their mother, their father, their brother, their sister that way. For him, it was humiliating to sit there in a nursing facility and have his family come in. The dignity that he had was gone. And so that's why we fight. These elder, our seniors are one of the most vulnerable populations that we have. They need to be getting care in an independent pharmacy. They need to be getting care where people know who they are. And the way that these big companies, these big insurance companies, the way they envision healthcare, it's going to be a disaster for Medicare beneficiaries. So that's why we're fighting so hard. And that's why, in my opinion, this has to be a service that pharmacies offer. Because if not, those agents, those 3,000 that I was interacting with, they don't care about your independent pharmacy. They don't. They don't care if that patient ends up at a CVS or mail order or you're independent. Talking to those agents, not a single time that I hear when I talked about pharmacy, independent pharmacy. It's not even in their consciousness, people. So the only way for us to stay in this fight and keep these patients in our drugstores is for us to take some control and influence over this part of the process. Help these patients choose the plans that are going to keep them in your drugstore.
Well said. Well said, Ben. Thank you so much. And we are coming to the end of the podcast. And I feel like there's so much more we can be talking about. So we're going to make sure we have a part two of this conversation. Deb, I would love to give you the last word here today as our president and also as someone who, you know, has seen the potential for this. What advice do you have for any pharmacist or pharmacy owner out there right now, you know, with regard to even so much as looking at this? We were talking before we started recording, you and Ben are quite different personalities, right? You're someone I think that, you know, loves to help people, but you're Ben's very like, clearly, what's the word, an extrovert, right? And I think you're much more of an introvert. So I think if there's someone out there who's like, this sounds good, I don't know, what would you say to someone who might be on the fence about whether or not to be looking at this?
Well, I would say you're already having these conversations with your patients anyway, and your patients are coming through your door. And like Ben says, you're not going to be the con artist, because you have to look those folks in the eye every single day and their families when they come through your door. So you're going to do the right thing for the community. You're going to do the right thing for that patient. And in doing so, you're doing the right thing for your store. Your store is going to have a legacy. You're going to be able to survive. You're going to be able to take care of patients. And the more and more we get further into this taking care of Medicare patients, the more and more we're going to be able to maybe control the marketplace as, you know, we I don't want to use steering because that's not right. As we find patients the correct plans for them, it will bring patients to where they're going to get the best care. And where they get the best care is the independent pharmacies. And I think that's really important. Don't look at this as sales. Look at this as just utilizing the tools that you already have, the things that you're already doing. But you can help people at a deeper level, and you can help yourself as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And for everyone listening, if you are interested at all, you know, here at PUT, we encourage you to explore the possibility, have a conversation with Ben and his team, really, really take a look at this, because it's a chance to, as we've been saying several times, and I believe this, it's an opportunity to take a system that was designed, it was meant for patient good, it was meant to help connect providers and patients. It's an opportunity to take that back and stop having it be used against you and against your patients. So the website again is, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's rxinsurancegroup.com, right?
Correct. Yep.
Great. And Ben, you gave your email address if anyone wanted to contact you.
Ben@waypointus.com. Yeah, reach out to us. Listen, we're betting on independent pharmacies. Okay, we're betting, Deb, you said it right. We're betting on your commitment to doing the right thing for your patients. It's amazing to me, out of all the enrollments that we've done, we've only had three complaints. And it's because patients kind of forgot what they enrolled in. And when they got their new drug card, they thought they enrolled in a United Healthcare plan and they end up in Humana. But we go back and we show the due diligence on how we came to that and that they had agreed to the Humana. So when I talk to these other agencies and things like that, they find out how many enrollments we've done and how few complaints that we've had. they're blown away. They're blown away. And it's because of the commitment of independent pharmacies to do the right thing for their patients. If that wasn't the case, if I didn't believe that, I mean, we wouldn't be offering this solution. So the trust that y'all built over the years, you're going to do the right thing. Because again, you got to look them in the eye every single day and say, we did the right thing for you. And we're banking on independent pharmacies are going to do that.
Thank you, Ben. And for everyone who's listening, thank you for joining us. That is it for this episode of the podcast. We will see you next month.
This episode of the podcast has been brought to you by DataScan Pharmacy Software. As a family-owned and operated independent pharmacy software solutions provider, DataScan Pharmacy Software is a proud independent small business supporting independent pharmacies. To learn more about DataScan Pharmacy Software, visit their website at dataScanPharmacy.com. For more information on Pharmacists United for Truth and Transparency and how you can help end PBM abuse of our healthcare system, visit our website at truthrx.org.